103.9 FM, WOZO Radio, Knoxville.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Girl, loved the mess. I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I love my uniform. So did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. Things I thought were true. Someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go of God. Letting go of God.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2020. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
I'm beginning
all
to see
to
a trend.
You, my precious Savior, I surrender all.
Very well done.
I'm going to have to hop in 2 minutes after we start.
Oh, really? And our guests today are Joy Woods, J.W. Kennedy, Chad the Impaler, and Boudreau. Welcome. Chad, he's not here yet. Is
and Dread Pirate Hicks.
Yeah, Dread Pirate Hicks is here, but I thought Scott was too. Anyway, I didn't leave anybody out. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, or East Tennessee for that matter, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that get together right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist television show broadcasting here from Knoxville?
Oh, my
gosh.
Did you
know that, Wombat?
I love that show. I didn't even know you know about that show. So that's actually kind of interesting. So the whole reason why I became a scientist was because of like basically the show, because you would have Bill Nye come up and he'd be like, hey man, science is awesome. And I'd be like, science is awesome. And I'm like, maybe I should be a scientist when I grow up. He's like, you could totally do it. And I think it's really good for kids to like watch really educational shows on growing up on TV. So
I'm sure they touch on science, but it's not the Bill Nye show. It's an atheist show and it's a call-in show, and they've been doing it for 10 years. But you can find it on YouTube now. They're streaming live every week, and I'll talk to you more about that, the details, after the mid-show break. Right now, we're just about ready to get into our topic. First, if you have any comments that you'd like to throw into the show or bring up questions, you can always go to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour Facebook page and post those comments there. Use the messaging function.
Shoot. Now, post them in the YouTube comments as well, too.
Why really?
Not? Yeah.
And JW, we're ready for your topic. I think you were going to ask, why do we care?
Usually we'll cover a topic that we usually get from theists or the religious end. Today, I thought it would be interesting if we could answer the question that we get from both sides, because a lot of atheists ask this question too, atheists, agnostics, and non-religious, is that why do people like us who are atheists, agnostics, and non-religious have a YouTube channel and have podcasts and vote? And all those things and get so involved with this. And it's, I think it would be an interesting topic to see why we each individually are here and why we each individually are so passionate about being vocal and politically active about the topic. And
very cool. I wrote an article on this very topic on my blog, digitalfreethought.com/blog. It's called What's So Wrong with Religion Anyway? And it goes on and on. I've got probably a dozen different items in there that I fleshed out pretty well. But the way I hear people ask me is, why do you have to be out here talking to Christians? Why do you have to
have why do you have to be annoying?
And ask an atheist table, why do you care what theists believe? And to me, it's the answer is short and simple. Religion causes great harm in the world, and we have to address that harm and hopefully work to eliminate as much of it as we can. And now we'll go into details in the show, but that's basically where I think we're all coming from when sure. it comes to yeah. that.
Boudreau looks like he's got something on his mind. Mm-hmm. Boudreau, what do you feel about this?
Yeah, I guess what strikes me about that immediately is religion wouldn't be nearly as bad if there was just one. It's in some ways dubious.
Hot shots.
It'd be unified and
depends
and
on the religion.
I mean, that's right. what the Pope sure. was thinking the entire time. Like, that's yeah. the whole point of the Crusades. That was the point. Like, when you think yeah. about it, it all was and for the greater good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a philosophy with no yeah, problem.
But one religion does sound kind of totalitarian to me, even though there are three major religions that have very totalitarian tendencies and Christianity has had a history of totalitarianism, but you've kind of seen it kind of relax over the past century in a sense, at least in certain countries. But then we have certain people like in America trying to bring back certain or because I mean in America originally we were secular, but now we have people in America trying to bring back or bring in certain Christian principles. So, but anyway, to the main topic, I just say to have one religion that even that does sound kind of concerning to me. But I mean, maybe it's just because religion is concerning in general to me.
Interesting topic. I always thought that America was never absolutely secular, but that we just didn't want to worship the same way how an already established church worshiped.
Yeah.
And I feel like whenever you have different people, they're going to have different ways of wanting to worship. Even if it's the same religion, there's just going to be schisms that are natural by virtue of the fact that people are different. And that's what's so hard to keep it all in the same umbrella.
Yeah, well, I use that term loosely in a sense because God isn't mentioned in the Constitution, and there were a lot of deists and agnostics that were involved in the writing of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, those kinds of people. But anyway, I was just saying, like, one religion, I guess it could be a really good religion or a really bad religion, who knows? Mm. But I'm curious as to Boudreau, like why does one religion seem less threatening than multiple religions?
Like I said, I kind of ended it with it would unify things and make it harder to disband. I think one of the lucky things about having so many religions is that you can just point to multiple religions as an argument against any religion, right?
But
if there was one single religion, I feel like we wouldn't have wars over believing in different gods. We wouldn't have, you know, I guess maybe it would be harder for atheists to argue with theists, but I think it would be a lot more peaceful, even if it was.
And we may have less wars, but it doesn't mean that we'd have less atrocities.
Exactly.
True.
Go ahead.
The idea that people have a connection to a higher power, that creates division just in and of itself. Because if you've got priests who are closer to God than the people, then right away you've got conflicting views on who's got the closer connection to God. So even yeah. internally, I think there's a potential for a lot of conflict.
Yeah. And back when there was only one religion, like in England, people came to America. You're talking about how America got started, was because they found it overburdening and oppressive, and they wanted to worship different ways. So you would have a society where people, if it was all one religion all over the world, then you would have those societies that would rebel. They would try to at least gather among themselves and fight the established rule.
Oh, where would they go?
And that doesn't even consider space. Oh, I am inside.
I was thinking atheism. They
underground,
would,
yeah.
If they don't like the religion, if there's one religion, only one religion, you can't have any more. If they have a problem with that religion, there's only one place to go.
Mm-hmm. Underground or
atheism.
Yeah,
man, atheism. I don't want a lot of angry atheists who are literally angry at the one true God. Everyone else believes it. I'd rather just have outcasts from everybody.
But that doesn't even talk about science. I mean, if one religion ruled the entire world, science would have a really hard row to hoe, because every single establishment would be combined to back up any resistance to a scientific advancement.
So Larry brings up an incredible point, because when you have Muslim scientists who, and Islam is like, well, we don't hard believe evolution, like humans come from like evolved, you know, previous animals. And then you have Christian scientists who also discover that evolution has points, and Muslim scientists discovering that, you know, evolution has points. And maybe you have like Hindu scientists discover it. It seems like there's an objective truth that's apart from whatever anyone's particular societal upbringing or tradition is, that science is very much an independent body that's, you know, exemplified by the fact that regardless of whatever religious view you have, when you do the scientific method properly, you come to this one conclusion. And I feel like there's value in having different perspectives reach that same conclusion as just a demonstrative.
I've seen a meme online that some atheists, agnostics, and non-religious believe that if there was one religion and it was unified, that would actually be evidence of a higher power, because unity among the religious seems to almost be nearly impossible. So
yeah, it'd be more compelling for me, for sure.
More compelling is a good way to say it. I don't think it would be evidence.
Bad evidence. be compelling, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why, the whole list of reasons why I decided to leave Christianity is that it just acted like any other major religion, at least monotheistic, with all of its divisions. And right. The book itself promised supernatural unity among believers that just wasn't there.
I mean, like, technically a Jesus on a piece of toast is evidence. It's just, what's your standard? And are you willing to accept it here or higher, right? Yeah. Higher the standard, the better.
Wheat bread or white bread? Because I think that would change it.
Oh, it's super important. Super important. Because you got, I mean, what Jesus do you think best exemplifies a person born in the Middle East in Mesopotamian era? You got to get that wheat, baby.
Right. So,
I will say this. This is to Eric's point of view. I'm going to play some devil's advocate. Because I think I understood where Eric was coming from. It's like, if you just had a religion that wasn't as oppressive, that was very much just the mundane sort of loosely held spiritual, just be connected with yourself, like find a congregation, the guys to work with, improve your society, and who knows what might happen in the future, but at least we will spend now making heaven here, basically. Like, in a sense like that, I can get behind just the mindset. And you don't necessarily have to have a God belief to have a religion. Like, it's just more of like a practice of how you know, behave and deal with some relationships with yourself and other people. Like, you can express that religiously without a God belief. And maybe if there was one non-theistic God belief, maybe that'd be cool. What do you think?
Yeah.
About that?
If a religion, that just makes me think, like, if a religion has supernatural claims that you don't really, that there's a lackadaisical attitude about believing, like there's no threat of hell or reward of heaven to believe these supernatural claims, how many generations, if not in the one generation that it was originated, would it last? Just like
Judaism doesn't really have a strong
Judaism
doesn't have the afterlife, at least like a moderate Jew doesn't, like non-orthodox, I guess. Right. Oh, so yeah. But that's right. That one's lasting pretty long.
Yes, but a lot of them identify culturally as Jewish, but intellectually as atheists.
A lot of the Eastern religions too, they don't have an afterlife belief other than the reincarnation or something on this world. they may think that their spirits still inhabit the earth or whatever, but there's not a whole heaven, hell type good, bad place to go after that. But they're more philosophical religions anyway.
Dreadpire, you mind telling me about the Pasiferian belief of the afterlife and how relevant it is to actual Pasiferians?
Well, it's quite relevant. So in Pasiferian heaven, there's a beer volcano and a stripper factory. And
male and female.
And gender fluid.
Absolutely. You got everything.
Yeah. And then in Pasiferian hell, the beer volcano spews out stale beer and the strippers all have STDs.
Oh no.
Good incentive to be good.
Oh, I didn't know there was a hell in the Pasiferian worldview.
No, I didn't either.
There you go. Well, if you don't follow the eight, I'd rather you didn't. You're taking chances there.
The noodly one may touch you
in a bad way.
Okay. Someone's going to have to explain to me like how to properly enjoy beer, because every single time I try it, I'm like, I would rather drink juice. Don't you know about apple juice in a box? It's the best drink ever.
Have you tried a dark beer?
Like Guinness. Meal in a glass.
Isn't this just wheat fermented? It's just like, this is pretty gross, isn't it? Like hops and stuff
Not
like that?
Just no, wheat. Like,
juice no. tastes better.
You can make beer out of honey for that matter.
I
was just going to, just to talk, with JW here on his topic. Yeah. This is something I remember from Matt Dillahunty, is that, beliefs have inform our actions and actions have consequences. And that's why it's important to me as a person to engage people about their beliefs, especially religious ones, because when the world is full of magic and unpredictable, it's a world I really wouldn't want to live in. And that's why I depend on science as a methodology for investigation. So
that sounds like there's a strong answer. There's a strong personal benefit for you to care.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's uniform for everybody. Yeah.
I mean, I have, my kids, my grandkids, my daughter, she's, a born again Christian, and I can't even engage her on Facebook because it's all about, her beliefs and God. And that's of course trickled into her kids. My grandson refuses to work on Sunday because he says, I'm a Christian and that's our holy day.
Can we take a quick time out? Mm-hmm. To just talk about what the Georgian calendar is, because God worked for 6 days in the book. He worked for 6 days and took a rest off on the last day of the week, right? Mm. And let's not even get into the fact that all 7 days are named after different gods. But Sunday is the first day of the week named after the sun, but I'm not even going to get in there. It's the first day of the week.
In Hebrew, I think, from what I remember when I was studying Hebrew roots, it's they just number the days. In the Hebrew language, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Sabbath
works for me.
I think,
but Sunday is the first day of the week on a Georgian calendar. Yeah. Saturday is the weekend. It's the weekends, the ends of the week. Mm-hmm. Why are people taking Saturday off? Why aren't people taking Saturday off? That's my thing. Saturday is the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. Like that's the day of rest. Why are people taking the first day of the week? I feel like they're trying to get the double day. They're trying to get the extra week.
I was studying Hebrew roots, this was the Catholic Church, or the early church right before it became Catholic. There was a lot of animosity against the Jews because they blamed the Jews for killing Jesus. So they came up with all these doctrines to make them so distinct from Jews. And then they tried their best to justify them with scripture. And one of them was Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, which he really wasn't. You could actually make a good argument that he died on Wednesday and rose on Saturday. But Jesus was raised on Sunday. Jesus did away with the law, at least the laws that we don't want to do. And so that was just part of all that. Like, we don't have to do this anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. And anybody who does that anymore is cursed and blinded by Satan. And so it was just the whole reamped of, oh, this is the New Testament. This is the New Covenant. This is what we do. So basically, in short, in simple terms, they just made stuff up so they would look different.
I feel like talking about Jesus is sort of like talking to a Batman fan about where Superman died, and it's just like, no, he died in chapter 40, episode 46 of, it's like, no, wait, Deathstroke came by from the planet Jeebus. It's very contentious, but there's a lot of different narratives competing with each other. If only there was like some sort of council that can like choose which chapters go in the Bible or not. Gary, I'm so sorry for interrupting you.
Well, that's all right. But I did, you know, because I was talking about my grandson who, like I said, just, you know, he cherry picked something that was convenient for him to use as an excuse to not work on Sundays.
Right.
And, you know, I've had a chat over coffee with my grandson. It's posted on my YouTube channel. And we talked about Santa Claus. And I was trying to see if there was a way to bridge because he used to believe in Santa Claus. I used to be the community's Santa Claus every year for a number of years.
You have been
and I remember him looking at me with complete awe and astonishment as I was on the sleigh, on the parade through town. And he'd come up and he wouldn't recognize me. But, you know, there was a, and then he did. Then he realized that there is no Santa Claus. And so I was trying to bridge that sort of realization with his current belief in the deity. But it didn't seem to happen. Or if it did, he's still using it as a means to excuse himself from work on Sunday. So, like I say, you know, about the connection of, you know, our beliefs inform our actions and actions have consequences. So,
Yeah. Plus it's easy to take a day off, isn't it? Like, isn't it just like,
oh, well, I mean, I and you could just say that without having to use a higher power as an excuse.
It's true. Yeah. It's like, you can be lazy without being lazy and, you know,
intellectually lazy. Yeah, you don't have to go there.
Yeah.
But I think also if our beliefs inform our actions, but it informs our actions even more depending on how seriously we take that belief, because in my 26 years of being part of Christian church, there were a whole spectrum of people of how serious they were about their faith. And hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Keep going, Joey.
And how serious they were about their faith. So there's just a wide range of people. And so I think if with me, you know, how serious I was about my faith and how serious I was about the, you know, if the Bible is true, then I need to obey it. That in time led me out. But what the puzzle is, what do you guys think when you're talking to someone or you know somebody that just has a lackadaisical attitude about it all? What would you say to them, or how would you get them to take, you know, supernatural beliefs seriously, or take the fact that believing in things that don't have good evidence, how would you get them to see that it's a very important thing to not believe something without good evidence? If they just had this lackadaisical meh kind of pothead attitude about
it. I'll summarize. Hey, if you asked the question, Joey, we're going to taper it here. But I'm saying, like, I'm going to take a line from what I heard Nathaniel say yesterday. It's like, when is it a good time to be an advocate for the truth? And it turns out there's not really a bad time to not, or there's not a bad time not be an advocate for the truth. You should always try to be an advocate for the truth. That's what compels me, and I imagine all of you guys as well, to present what is what we believe to be a more objective reality than what's being perpetrated behind a church pew. And and there's, of course, nice means of doing it. And there's, you know, really mean ways of doing it. When we've chosen like the more cordial way of engaging people who are willing to have conversations with us and hopefully through, you know, a brief conversation, give them the opportunity to change their own mind. It's not something that we're going to do for them. It's something they can do only on their own.
They have to. That's the way it works.
And it doesn't work in it. I mean, even with a 5-minute conversation, it's not going to change at the end of that conversation, but it'll be a pebble in their shoe. And I bet you your grandson is going to remember, I had a very pleasant conversation with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. My mom says he's an atheist, or like as a apostate or something like that. But when my pastor says atheists are bad people, I'm going to think of that good conversation I had with my grandpa. I'm going to imagine that he came out and cared about me to the point where we just had a conversation, didn't push me anywhere. That's going to stick with me a lot more. And I'm going to wonder how hard it's going to be for me to get out of this religion compared to what it would be like if I said, hey, like what kind of like, you know, hurdles would I come at? And are these hurdles representative of the fact that I believe this is true, or that I'm just here because it's more convenient? Like, yeah. I have to do that weighing in myself.
Mm-hmm. Dread Pirate, what do you think? And this is one question I've sort of tossed around in my mind, because of course he's 17 now, and he's getting close to the point where, mom's going to be asking him to, you know, forge his own destiny and climb on out of the nest.
I thought you were going to say checks.
Checks?
Forge his own checks. I didn't know about how it works in Canada.
Well, like, you know,
you do that on your 18th birthday in Canada?
He may be so inclined. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like jail is free healthcare, so you might as well.
But I would certainly, you know, again, it's about fostering that relationship and you know, making sure that when he does get to the point where he's out on his own, that you know, without the constant influence of his familial surroundings on him, that he may realize that he can't pay rent while, you know, saying he refuses to work on Sunday for religious, you know, for religious grounds, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He may just come to realize, oh, this is the real world after all.
So this is your daughter's son?
This is my daughter's son, yeah.
So does your daughter have any restrictions about you talking about Pastafarian with him, or?
And I don't necessarily, I just did an SE thing, so I didn't really talk Pastafarianism. It's, you know, he gets, I mean, he sees me in the community, you know, Fridays I walk around with the tricorn in the community, and, you know, I say ahoy to everyone that I meet, and that's just, you know, an image I've been building up over time in the community. But underlying all of that is, you know, rational free thinking, right? You know, just drawing attention to the fact that the differences in our beliefs, you know, what we believe is important and it has an impact, and that what I have to say about my beliefs, you know, while some people think it's crazy, when you really look at it, it's about as crazy as everybody else's beliefs, you know, when it comes to religion. So
cool.
So to answer your question, she doesn't limit my interactions with him, because for instance I did ask her directly if I could have this interview with him and show it on YouTube, so she was okay with that. But cool. Partly I think because we didn't talk directly about his God belief.
Mute your mic if you're not talking, guys. Someone's playing like audio in the background. or at least turn off the music in the background. All right. So yeah. I just want to say thank you for sharing that story, Gary. And I can't tell you how hard it is for coming out of religion to return back to having normal conversations, relationship with family members who are still in religion. I have a sister that's Muslim. I have a mom that's Jehovah's Witness. I got other family members that are Christian. And when we have Thanksgiving together, it's a very awkward situation because they all look at me like I'm the one that doesn't know what's going on. But I'm not praying. So, you know, I'm really thankful that I've learned about how to have these kinds of conversations. And I'm also really happy that it's not hard to just reach out and talk to someone. And I would love to plug that video that you did with your grandson towards the end of this conversation. So we'll get that link ready. And in the meanwhile, Gary, all right, Larry, we're at the bottom of the half hour. How about you head us out?
Well, sure. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short message.
one species turn into another.
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical.
Only the fittest survive. And that was the key. Was the key. Natural selection.
We are surrounded by endless forms, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. There is grandeur in this view of life. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth.
Life can be thought of as a many-branched tree. The five kingdoms of life were established early on. Bacteria, protists, amoeba-like creatures, fungi, plants, and animals.
We find ourselves perched on one tiny twig, in the midst of a blossoming tree of life. Perched on one tiny twig, of a blossoming tree of life.
Only the fittest survive. And that was the key. Natural selection. That was the key.
We are surrounded by endless forms. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. There is grandeur in this field of life. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. We are surrounded by millions of other species. Walking, flying, burrowing, stalking, chasing, fleeing, outpacing.
Animals strive to reach this one ultimate goal, to ensure the survival of the next generation. This one ultimate goal, to pass on their genes. That is what life is all about, is all about.
There is grandeur in this field of life. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. As we look back on the history of life, we see a picture of never-ending, ever-rejuvenating novelty.
Those animals may seem to us to be very remote, strange, even fantastic. But all of us alive today owe our very existence to them.
And we're back to the show, 103.9 FM, Wozo Radio, Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Very good. Very well done.
Thanks.
Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2020, the second half of the show. Let's talk about the Free Thought groups that you can join here in Knoxville. We'll just mention them shortly. It's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We're in our 18th year with over 1,000 members. Come join us. You can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't know if there's a meetup in your area, go to meetup.com and look for it. If you don't find one, start one. Another large free thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. That's RET, and you can find them online at rationalists.org. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville's Atheist Call-In TV show. Is called the Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. And the reason they say that, you were talking last week about ASK being the perfect name because
it's a great name.
You should ask questions.
You should ask questions.
The reason they call the Freethinkers United Coalition is because this TV show is done by all the different groups. ASK, RET, other people who are involved in the other groups are here in Knoxville, the Sunday Assembly, just generally, they all try to have some kind of input. So they decided to call the YouTube page, YouTube channel, the Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. And that's why. And you can find it there on YouTube. If you're interested in getting involved in the TV show or the radio show, just come to our Digital Free Thought Radio Hour webpage on Facebook. Yeah. Or you can go to Let's Chat and talk to Wombat about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
And we are now back our topic. We were talking about why can't we just leave religion alone? Why don't we just let people believe what they want to?
Yeah.
And of course, we mentioned that the answer is that religion does great harm in the world. And maybe we should talk some more about the harm itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I know you're the harm guy. So why don't you tell me about this? Like, if I thought I had a soul and that I didn't need to apologize to you if I hurt you, and I can just apologize to, you know, the big guy in the sky.
Yeah.
What's the problem there?
You're talking about forgiveness. If an atheist hurts somebody, harms somebody, they have to go to that person and ask their forgiveness and make retribution sometimes in order to get that forgiveness. Or a believer can just go in their bathroom or their home or whatever, a bedroom, kneel down and ask God for forgiveness. That's fine for the person who does the problem, creates the problem or causes the trespass, but it doesn't do anything for the person who was harmed. Also, somebody, I mean, this was an article that one of our Digital Free Thought blog members brought up. Says it lets the if you free, like Christianity always says, you know, you need to forgive the people who trespass against you. Well, that's fine unless they're a serial trespasser, like a serial rapist or a misogynist or somebody who does this all the time, and you forgive them, it just lets them off scot-free. Yeah. They don't have to answer to the authorities about things like that when you just let it go. They're free to continue doing what they're doing.
And I think in the Bible, that only references people who are within your same belief system. So like if you're a Sumerian who, you know, wronged a Hebrew, oh, we can kill that Sumerian. Like that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Can I jump in and say something?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Hey, hi, Bruce. By the way, for those who haven't met me, I'm Bruce. I'm a random kid from New Zealand.
Hello, Bruce. Welcome.
Cool. Would you say that those harms are more to do with the fact that that belief system or religion isn't universal as opposed to the belief system itself? So like if everyone...
Is that for me or Larry?
Or anyone really. Just like if...
Well, I think
like take any of those examples that you used, if they applied equally to the people who had trespassed against you, for example, those issues you raised wouldn't necessarily be an issue, right? So it's only an issue because they're talking to or trespassing against someone who's not sharing that perspective.
Well,
it's just like something I'm throwing out there, not necessarily.
What I felt like mindset is dangerous, whereas us and them kind of thing, and that just gets into a lot of stuff.
Well, I think if it applies to your religion, then it applies. If it doesn't, then don't worry about it. You know, if you're like an Eastern philosophical religion where you don't have that belief, and we're talking about that belief in forgiveness, you know, per se, then I would kind of ignore it. But if you belong to a religion who has that precept, then maybe you should take it to heart.
My thought would be if it was universal, it would be less of a problem, but it's still a fundamental problem. Sort of like putting a Band-Aid on a bleeding wound. Like there might still need to be more fundamental work being put on there. And yeah, if it's universal, that's like putting the Band-Aid on. But the real problem is we all have this mindset that isn't necessarily based on like value and critical thinking that's getting us possibly motivated to move around in circles and not actually progress forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I find, you know, this question about why we care, you know, it's not just about religion, right? So if you've got magical, I mean, if you're thinking magically, things like homeopathy work for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gosh. And that then ties into, you know, a whole bunch of people believe in homeopathy. They talk to their, elected officials and then that becomes included in the healthcare system. And all of a sudden,
anti-vaccine kind of thing.
Your healthcare resources are now being allocated to systems or alternate medicines that clearly do not work except in magical thinking. And that has a real, real impact.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same thing as if someone said on a political scale, like, yeah, I think you should wear masks. And then next thing you know, 600,000 people are buying up all the N95 masks that a hospital needs to do its work properly,
right,
so that these people can wear them in non-sterile environments, put them on with non-sterile hands and pick up groceries and throw them away after wearing them for way too long with their design use. And so there's it's even in science, even outside of religion, even outside of homeopathy, there's just a value towards how do my actions influence other people and what are the consequences of them in a societal environment. And mm-hmm. everything has consequences, and we have to think about, okay, if that's the case, what's the best course of action? What can I determine is good things and bad things to do moving forward? And if I don't have that critical mindset to parse good actions from bad actions, we as a society could practically fall apart. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm thinking, like, we're being held together by a glue of critical thought, and we need to make sure we hold that.
And share how that works, right?
That's beautifully put.
Yeah.
We're being held together by a glue of critical thought, and we need to work to make sure that that's good.
Yeah. Bruce, what do you got?
I was thinking if you were to apply that to religion, then you'd want to apply that to non-religious actions and thoughts as well, right?
Right.
Which essentially insinuates that there's one ideal way to live. Because everything else that's below that is going to have some kind of impact that's low. Like, you know, it sounds like a very utilitarian approach to life.
Walk that down even more fundamentally. Instead of saying there's one good way to live, say there's a good way to determine how to live.
Right.
And then
what is real versus what is not real.
Yeah. Based on your situation, your final answer might be different from someone else's, but there's a good mindset to have to determine what good actions are between bad actions.
Yeah.
And the outcome might be different for other people, but it's all about the epistemology.
And what determines when the outcome is different?
We can talk about this more offline. This sounds like it'll be a lot longer conversation than just 15 minutes. Brujo, what do you think about this so far? Boudreau, what do you think about this so far?
I heard Brew. I thought it was Bruce. Brew.
No, you're good.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm liking this. It sounds like we're kind of getting into that area of morality where we're trying to use...
And philosophy.
Or ethics in general.
Yeah, we're trying to use science to inform ethics, morality, mm-hmm. which I think is the best thing to do. And I think that's the way we can come up with something objective across the board. Doesn't matter skin color, religion, anything. There's a way to determine. An objective
way of best way to live.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Dealing with religion. I mean, dealing with reality.
Mm-hmm. I got a quick question to throw out. And I'll throw this out to Gary, in fact, because he beat me twice. So, Gary, go for it. And then I got a question out. Go for it, Gary.
I was just going to say that, you know, critical thinking, of course, is about, a reliable methodology for investigating the world that yields reliable results. Mm. And that's kind of what I think about when I'm, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Shermer's baloney test kit.
Detection kit.
A baloney detection kit, yeah. And, you know, I just see that I've been actually putting together this idea that I should go to the local college and see if I can put on a small course on baloney detection and just use their course manual, because I think the value of those critical thinking skills is immeasurable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something that's regularly taught. You have and it's something like you can forget it. Like if you don't do it long enough, it can go away. It's not like riding a bike. You have to keep training yourself to do it.
In school, it seems like we are taught to retain information and repeat information.
Right.
Yep.
Pretty much.
What to think, not how to think.
And there's always a right answer and you have to know it. And it's better to guess than to say you don't know, which in a lot of times is actually the best answer. Hey, I got a question. This is going back on Boudreau's point. He said that, what if there was one kind of religion, would that be better? Hear me out, go on a limb with me. What if there was just one kind of atheism? Because we all know textbook definition, atheism is just not believing in God. There's a lot of different people who don't believe in God. That's fire. But when you talk to people, there's clearly, beyond just the idea that they aren't convinced that God's true, they have different compulsions and flags and things that they support, don't support. And it appears from the theistic point of view that there's just so many different kinds of atheists and they aren't really necessarily agreeing with each other, and that there's no general unison or consensus, and that's why they're so angry with each other. And wouldn't it be better if there was just one straightforward platform for atheism?
Yes.
Larry, what do you think about that?
One straightforward platform for atheism?
Yeah, just what
there is there not?
I preface this question with that, but like if you talk to someone who also doesn't believe in a God but also says they're there isn't a God.
Atheism is one answer to one question.
Right.
I mean, if
Larry, you're a bad person to go to first for this. Boudreau, what do you think about this? He's crossing his arms while he answers this.
I love this, Ty. Boudreau,
what do you got?
This is something I think we brought up before. One of the past presidents of an atheist group got up and talked to a group of atheists and yelled at them and said, look, we have a problem. We don't all identify as the same thing.
Exactly.
We have nuns, we have atheists, and that's N-O-N-E.
We got the Free Thinker Coalition. We got the Rational East of Tennessee. Yes. We got the ask. It's like, come on, guys.
We should all band under one name, epithet, whatever you want to call it, because then we can check a box on a demographic form.
Secular humanism is a good label.
What is?
Secular humanism, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's a great label, but again, we're not all picking it. Exactly. And then there are spiritualists, there are agnostics and atheists.
Pastafarians.
So when we fill out a form and we're trying to get some kind of political power behind our voice, we're all checking different boxes or choosing not to check a box or
none.
I love this thought, Ty. I think you're right. We need to kind of all unify.
I agree. Yeah,
so much more powerful.
You showed me the Dawkins scale, haven't you? Like multiple occasions. I would say like once you're past a certain number, you're this. But you can always be different numbers of this.
Yeah.
But you are this. It's Eric, perfect question for you.
Yeah, so it's a 7-point scale Richard Dawkins put together, basically to kind of define your belief in
or disbelief.
Belief in
you're six, right?
I'm sorry.
He said
he was a six. He actually was the first one to convince me that I wasn't a seven. A seven is you absolutely believe there's no God, you know it 100% true.
Right.
And a one is you absolutely believe there's a God, 100% is true. And then you've got ranges in between. But yeah, you're right. He claims he's a six because he doesn't know
exactly
there's no God. He just doesn't believe in one. So he's an agnostic atheist.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what I think most rational atheists are. I am.
You still like Foo Fighters, so yeah, kind of rational.
I never really thought of that, being united under one banner and considering ourselves one people group.
Dread Pirate, what do you think about this? I'll get you from Wayne.
And thanks for asking. I actually put myself at a seven. I think I, for a long time, tried to sell myself as a six, but that's essentially a Pascal's wager proposition. I'm a seven.
Everything points to there not it, being.
I'm a strident atheist.
Yeah. Are you saying you know every single possible proposed God, or are you saying
you're
that
talking
one
about
specific
knowledge
God,
versus belief?
Yeah, that's well, a seven combines the two. Unfortunately,
yeah,
that's not too much of a.
I
fan
actually
of
might
scale.
Be a seven.
Yeah, I'm. Well, yeah, I'm a.
Here's why I think I'm a seven. Because it's more of, I forget the guy who said it. He says he's a militant agnostic. He's an I don't know and you don't either.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm pretty sure that no one else can really know what was before the Big Bang, or no one else can really know if there's other dimensions that are supernaturally or have some sort of...
Or that there might be a God somewhere else in the universe.
We don't know that.
Or another
and if we don't know, then we don't absolutely know that it doesn't exist. That's why
we can come up with in our head that's not based on science can't possibly be a reflection of reality.
Yeah, here's the great thing about I don't know is I don't have to figure that out. I can just be not convinced that it's true. And I think that's good enough a place for me to be at. But if you very well define the God that we are talking about, like incredibly well defined, I can see myself as a seven if it's absolutely not possible for something like that to exist, or if it's in itself contradictory. So certain gods, yeah, I can be even like a 7.7 or 7.0, 6.7, whatever. But when it's just, does God exist? I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know is the better answer. And
6.9999 is fine.
Yeah, until you convince me, then I have no reason to believe that. And I don't know if that's true. I can see six is like, again.
Yeah, it sounds like seven is like nothing that will happen will make you believe in God. Like if God appeared right now and like made your great grandfather come back to life and something like that, and or whatever example you could think of, and that would still make you not believe in God.
Seven is more of, I really think that's highly unlikely to happen.
That's not how the Dawkins scale works. Six is the highly unlikely.
Yes. Seven is unclosed-minded.
Seven is absolute. A one is an absolute. Both of those are scary places to be.
Very
no
scary.
Offense, no offense to someone who picked a seven. I was a seven, but I had to stop. And I'm a 6.9999. Almost repeating, right?
Depending on what guy we're talking about. That's such a great point.
So you're the asymptote of atheism?
Sure.
That's rude, Gary. Watch it. We have a speech filter here, and I don't want to edit everything all over.
Once you get past the three, you're an atheist on the scale. So atheism isn't in question here. It's Gnosticism that's in question.
There you go. That's why I like it. And we can all be atheists even with that. Even with all this kind of,
I'm with you. I think it's a belief scale, and we're not talking about knowledge. And I've got the scale up here, and it says strong theist or strong atheist. They're not talking about Gnostics. They're talking about atheists.
Well, there is another dimension to it too. There's supposed to be a box where you,
it
you
just
can go.
It depends on how you word atheism. It's just like, I know there is no God, or I have no reason to.
That's Gnosticism.
So just to summarize, if I may address,
Bruce's.
We're running out of time. We're running out of time, so we're just going to summarize. Clearly, even in this boardroom of well-minded friends that like meet and talk on a regular basis, there's still conflict with regard to labels and I guess diagrams and stuff like that. And so I think this speaks to the idea of it be worthwhile to just have like a unified front. I think there could be some advantages there. Unlike religion, where I can find that stifling, I feel like for atheism, to have our voices be heard, at least on a political scale, it could be really valuable. Guys, we are down to the last couple of minutes of the show. Gary, can you please tell me about that video that you're talking about with your grandson and how we can find it?
Well, sure. Yeah. So my YouTube channel is Mind Pirate, and pirate is spelled P-Y-R-A-T-E. Cool. And I have a number of videos up there. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it is, but he looks like a young fella. So
what's it called? What's the name of the video? What's the name of the video? What's the name of your grandson?
Well, I don't include his name because mom, suggested that I don't. He's just 17. Wow. It's a name you wouldn't associate with a person. So it's a clearly made up name. So I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me.
Fair enough.
But it's on Mind Pirate.
Cool.
Yeah.
Joey.
I think it says Santa Claus or something is in the title too. So
cool. Joey, where can people find your stuff? And you just started your channel. Mind plugging that again?
Yeah, I don't have any videos or any content on either one of my channels right now. For my music and my comedy, it's going to be just JW Kennedy. Just look up JW Kennedy on YouTube and JWK Hates the News on Twitter. And for my street epistemology accounts, it's going to be Speak Your Beautiful Mind. So just look up Speak Your Beautiful Mind on YouTube, and on Twitter, it's at Your Beautiful Mind, spelled UR on Twitter.
Cool. Bruce, thank you for joining us. You're always welcome to come back for a longer extended discussions. Is there anywhere that you post stuff or any videos and stuff like that you like? Anything you want to promote?
No, I do not.
Okay. Nice and short and sweet. Boudreaux, what do you got for us?
I keep threatening that Chad and I are going to release our video. We recorded it last week. I'm going to do some edits and some cool stuff. I will post that out and share it here. But in the meantime, go watch my COVID-19 cover of Overkill.
Yes.
Man at Work. It's hilarious. Right.
It's very, very good. Also, props to Vivian for the awesome flute solo.
She was the star.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So I'm Let's Chat. You can find me on YouTube under Let's Chat. I've also got a Twitter at 5MinuteChat. That's the number 5MinuteChat. Because of the quarantine thing, I've had a lot more time to be making videos. So there's a whole new suite of videos from CPAC 2020 that you can find. Talk to a guy who thought taxes were in Christian. Talk to a guy who thought he had a right to believe in God, and that's why he believes in God. And then also talk to a guy who was from Alaska, came down to CPAC, and was basically terrified of Republicans and just wanted to see, okay, these guys are determining how my state's being ran. I just want to see if I can talk and have a reasonable conversation with any of them. And is there a good way for me to have that kind of conversation? Man, it was a great talk. I'm so glad he ran into me. Find those on my channel. They're coming out every Thursday. Larry, all for you.
Okay, just before I get into that, Boudreaux, I did look at it a little closer. I see the knowledge portion of it under each one, so you're right. Yes,
thank you.
good job.
Yay.
Okay, everybody, be sure to visit digitalfreethought.com. Click on the blog button. You can also find our radio show archives there. Atheist Songs, many articles on the subject, including the one that we were talking about today, or the subject anyway. It's called What's So Wrong With Religion? Check it out. It's a very itemized, long list. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll try to answer them on future shows. You can also leave comments on the blog or the Facebook page for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, or the YouTube channel that Tyrone has. Let's Chat. That's go there, me. And you can find our show with the video. And you'll also find our show on podcasts like iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, Podcast.com, etc. And as a reminder, like I remind everybody every week, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Take care. Say bye, all.
All right. We'll see you next week.
No soul.
On Digital Free Thought Radio Hour 103.9 FM. Have a great week, everybody. Bye. We love you.
In Knoxville. Take care. Bye-bye.
Game over.
You've been listening to Digital Free Thought
103.9 FM, Knoxville.